Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 19th. Midland Police Department says pond search not about serial killer. Police looking for evidence from December 17th double homicide. The story was written by Stuart Doreen and Mercedes Cordero. The evidence recovery effort at Wadley Barron Park continues. Midland Police Department officials said the Signature Park in Central Midland will be closed until further notice after the Midland Police Department began searching the pond Tuesday morning. The Midland Police Department, along with the Department of Public Safety and Texas Rangers, are searching the pond for evidence in reference to a double homicide that took place on December 17th, according to MPD. MPD reported they found a gun in the pond, but it is not related to the double homicide. Here is more to know about evidence recovery effort at the duck pond. Question: does the investigation have to do with serial killers or recovering bodies from Wadley Barron? Answer: no. Deputy Chief Greg McWright of the Midland Police Department said this completely false narrative has been going around social media. He told reporters Wednesday that there's no serial killers, and police are looking for evidence related to a double homicide on December 17th. Question: will this be over soon? Answer: McWright said this is likely to be a slow, methodical process. The water is cold and murky, he said, and the effort to find evidence, a weapon, could go into next week. Question: is this related to remains found recently in East Midland? Answer: no. This doesn't have anything to do with that, he said. Question: what is known about the gun that was found? Answer: McWright said it was a revolver that, at an initial glance, had been in the water for a very long time. Question: who is diving? Answer: DPS is the primary dive recovery group, and Midland Police are leaning on their expertise for this, according to McWright. Question: what else should the public know about the effort at Wadley Barron? Answer: I would appreciate it if you just give us a little bit of space, McWright said. They've got a lot of work to do. Once they get it done, and we'll get it back open. End quote. George P. Bush reflects on tenure as Texas Land Commissioner. The story was written by Mila McEwen. George P. Bush earlier this month stepped down after serving 8 years as Texas's Land Commissioner, overseeing the state's oldest state agency. In that role, he oversaw Texas's land and mineral holdings, the permanent school fund, and the university lands, as well as the Texas Veterans Land Board. Quote, it was an honor to serve the people of Texas for 8 years, Bush told the Reporter Telegram by telephone. The most important task was handling Texas lands, especially in the Delaware Basin. End quote. The Midland area has a special place in his heart, given it is where his grandfather, George H.W. Bush, and uncle, George W. Bush, lived early in their careers, and where his father, Jeb, was born. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center was constructed on state land, he noted. Texas's land holdings are comprised of 13 million acres west of the Pecos River to El Paso, land along the I-35 corridor between San Antonio and the Metroplex, and, Bush said, the crown jewel, the Alamo. He noted that in 2022, his last year in office, state-owned lands generated $2 billion for Texas schools. A new endowment created during his term has $42 billion to support Texas K-12 schools. The land commissioner also heads the board for lease of university lands, the 2.1 million acres across 19 West Texas counties, centered around the Midland-Odessa area. Revenues generated by lease sales, as well as royalties, has made it the nation's largest public university endowment at more than $32 billion. That track record and his efforts in finding new revenue streams to support Texas schools are what he looks back on with pride, Bush said. Oil and gas played a big role in the success of the school funds, and Bush said he is also proud of successfully suing both the Obama and Biden administration over issues ranging from listing the dunes sagebrush lizard as endangered or regulations from the Environmental Protection Agency and Department of Interior to protect activity on state lands. Quote, whether it was entering the Union in 1845 or returning to the Union after the Civil War, the Texas legislature did what it could to manage our own acreage, said Bush. As a result, less than 1% of land in Texas is owned by the federal government, end quote. As he begins a new career with law firm Michael Best and Frederick as a partner, and Michael Best Strategies as a principal, Bush said he leaves the land office not only with strong revenues for state schools, but an innovated and updated way to respond to disasters. He is also watching the emergence of new industries, among them producing rare minerals in West Texas. Traces of lithium, for example, have been found in Culberson County and will be in demand amid the growth in electric vehicles and renewable energy sources like wind turbines and solar panels and in military equipment. Quote, I hope the industry being born in the 21st century will benefit from what the oil and gas industry did in the 20th century, Bush said. Little Bohemian moves into downtown location. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Little Bohemian, a swanky, new, modern cuisine social spot, will take over the old Low Street Books Corner location at 201 West Wall Street, Suite 201. From decor influence and vibes to bites and sips, owner Caitlin Carrasco gave the Reporter Telegram the 411 on what to expect from the new downtown restaurant. With a heavy focus on the business's food, and local foodie pro Edgar Lopez as chef and a small minority owner, Carrasco said Little Bohemian will also be equipped for catering. Quote, we're going to have a wide variety, some steaks, a short rib, some sushi, Carrasco explained. We'll have a smaller, quick and easy lunchtime menu, a separate dinner menu, and a craft cocktail program, end quote. As a mother of two kids, the multi-business owner said parents can expect items such as French fries and cheeseburgers for the littles and wants families to feel encouraged to visit the restaurant during lunch and early evening hours. As for looks, Carrasco plans to pull inspiration from her travels, mainly Las Vegas, Miami, and Los Angeles. The overall aesthetic fits a French modern theme with lots of fringe details, dark colors, and moody lighting. For seating, expect chocolate brown velvet bench-like sections with tables and accompanying chairs, paired with elegant low-hanging chandeliers and details. Furthermore, all the windows will be tinted, only revealing silhouettes to people passing by. For outdoor seating, Carrasco plans to install an awning to extend over the South Lorraine Street facing side of the restaurant. Lastly, the current black framed doors will be replaced with shiny lacquered entryways. Quote, I can go somewhere in my sweats and probably have a chill night, but if I already have in my head that I'm going to have this amazing outfit to go with an amazing dinner and cocktails, then I know I'm going to have an amazing time, Carrasco said. That's what I want people to get from the moment they decide to come here. Once you walk through this door, you have no worries, end quote. Other additions to the lot include the demolition of the wall between Little Bohemian and what used to be Midland CBD by Hampton Hemp Company, ultimately expanding the space and providing the perfect nook for the restaurant's bar. Furthermore, Caitlin and her husband Patrick also own the Golden Chicks found on Big Spring Street and East Florida Avenue. Caitlin's dad was one of the original Golden Chick franchisees, so she grew up in the food industry. Now she sees the full circle with Little Bohemian and having her kids running around and helping just like she did. As of now, brown paper windows hide the demolition and soon-to-be-added interior design from the community, helping keep the magic and surprise alive. Little Bohemian will open in April. Operation hours will be 11 a.m. to midnight or 1 a.m. Monday through Saturday and closed on Sundays.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, January 19th, 2023. Zavala Educators Plan Secret Garden. Like the name of the beloved children's book, Zavala Assistant Principal Aaron Riddell and teacher Sandy Huertas were awarded a $2,620 Education Foundation grant to create the Secret Garden on campus. There is an area between the two wings of Zavala where nobody goes, and that's where they have decided to put the garden and where the name comes from. That's where we're going to put it, Riddell said. We haven't built it yet. We've ordered all the supplies, and either sometime at the end of this month, January, or the first couple of weeks of February, we're going to invite some of our parents to come help us put it all together and then start growing plants. They also are going to get help from the master gardeners. Riddell said they are planning to grow a little bit of everything. Herbs, flowers, maybe some vegetables, and a little bit of fruit. Riddell said the garden kind of lends itself to the choice, formerly known as Magnet, program at Zavala, Communities and Careers. Zavala has about 430 students in pre-kindergarten through second grade. About 70 stay for the choice program after school. We thought this would offer an opportunity for those students to learn some skills that might be useful for them in the future, Riddell said. Huertas said it could be incorporated into their market where items could be sold. She added that the students will have a chance to work in the garden. We bought supplies like watering cans and little shovels, trowels and gloves. They'll have their own gloves, Riddell said. It's all part of the maintenance of it and learning that you don't just buy it at the store. You've got to grow it, Huertas said. They are hoping this will inspire students to grow things at home. That's one reason we want to involve our parents a little bit, too, is to make that school-home connection, Riddell said. She added that they are hoping the garden will draw more students to stay for the choice program after school. That's one of our goals, is to grow our program, Riddell said. Huertas said she and Riddell usually apply for grants together. We make a good team, Riddell said. Huertas said she has learned things even she didn't realize. She will come in here and she'll go over stuff and we'll go over it together and see what needs to be changed, if anything needs to be changed, Huertas said, and she'll ask questions. They would both encourage other teachers and administrators to apply for Education Foundation grants. This is a great way to be innovative, and a lot of times the school budget doesn't help with that because there's no room for innovation, I guess. But it helps really to supplement that innovation and get some new ideas out there, Riddell said. Riddell said they are getting ready to have a market around Valentine's Day. They had one before Christmas where students sold edible reindeer pretzels and stockings, Huerta said. The kids get really excited when they get to sell things, and they really learn the value of money because just teaching it in the classroom, they don't really learn that value until they actually do it, put in practice, and then they understand, Riddell said. She added that it didn't take her long to write the grant because she's done several before. It took me 2 or 3 days to get everything where I wanted it, Riddell said. Previously, it would take her a couple of weeks to write. I've gotten a little quicker, but I still put a lot of thought into it, she added. Riddell said she thinks the secret to writing the grants is to be reader-friendly. If you put too much educational lingo in it sometimes, it throws people off and they don't understand it or understand the purpose behind it. So you have to understand the reader, like who's actually giving you the grants, Riddell said. Big investment. PSP makes large donation to Truck Driving Academy. With 4,000 open CDL driver positions in this region alone, the Permian Strategic Partnership has donated $3.5 million to the Odessa College Truck Driving Academy to add more trucks, instructors, and scholarship funds to get more big rig drivers on the road. The announcement of the investment was made at the Odessa College Sewell Auto Tech facility Wednesday. Investing in certifications for commercial drivers is a crucial step to ensure the safety of the Permian Basin and to provide training for essential in-demand and high-paying careers. Currently, Texas Workforce Commission data shows that there are nearly 4,000 open CDL positions in the Texas Permian region alone, PSP President and CEO Tracy Bentley said. Additionally, the Texas Department of Public Safety estimates 65% of commercial vehicles in the Permian Basin are out of compliance. This is why the PSP zeroed in on proactively addressing CDL training as part of our efforts to improve road safety. We will take a first bite at the apple by adding nearly 100 additional students per year to the Odessa College program, and we hope to continue supporting CDL training programs across West Texas and Southeast New Mexico. The quality and high standards of the Odessa College Truck Driving Academy gives us great confidence that we will be able to see success as we train and retain new truck drivers here in the Permian Basin, Bentley said. Bentley added that she wanted to acknowledge that this initiative is a natural fit for PSP given that they already have successful partnerships on education and health care with OC. She added that OC President Gregory Williams and his team at the college are among the finest in the country and share PSP's vision for ensuring this region is known for its trained workforce, quality education, accessible health care, and our modernized transportation system. This cannot happen without partnerships like this one. We are thrilled to continue supporting programs with Odessa College, and we look forward to implementing yet another successful initiative together, Bentley said. Truck Driving Academy Director William Church said Wednesday's event was a dream come true. Our mission is to educate students on the importance of safety, operating a commercial motor vehicle, and knowing the rules and regulations according to the FMCSR federal motor carrier safety regulations. We started this program with 6 trucks and 2 instructors averaging 60 students per year for the first 2 years. Today, the program has 10 trucks, 7 instructors, and an average of over 140 students per year in the last 2 years, Church said. With a donation from the Permian Strategic Partnership, the truck driver program will be able to add additional trucks and trailers that will help increase the student enrollment to over 200 students per year in the upcoming future, Church added. With the help of knowledgeable and trustworthy instructors, we will meet that goal. OC Truck Driving Academy graduate Celeste Venegas graduated in August and said the program was awesome. She is a single mom of 2 boys who think it's pretty cool that their mom drives an 18-wheeler. I came here knowing nothing, but with the great instructors that this school has, I was able to come out here as a safe driver and landed a job right away, Venegas said. This school taught me how to be a safe driver, how to be confident on the road and also have fun while driving because sometimes it can be stressful, but they taught me so much that now I can do it with my eyes closed, she said, but not literally. As a mom, I always tell women we can do it. I'm in the oil field. I'm financially blessed. I get jobs offers all the time, and I can still count on Mr. Church and the other instructors if I have questions. When they told me that their goal was for us to be safe and perfection out there, they really meant it. They answered all my questions still to this day. I'm very thankful to be here, and thank you for all your teachings and all your motivational speeches every morning, Venegas said. Church said the growth of the program will get even better and continue to grow in the near future. The training is 5 weeks. Getting the CDL is separate from the training, and his pass rate is 99.9% for that. The pass rate for students earning CDL is 100%, Church added. If a student fails the test the first time, Church said they will stay with them until they pass. One of the things we told the students at the beginning, we leave no student behind. We're going to work with you as much as possible. So basically, the person that's going up to get their CDL license, it's 100%. Or we might have a couple that have to stop due to family issues. But when they come back, they can still get their license, Church said. Vice President of Advancement Jackie Gore said the investment has been in the works since October. Gore said that $3.5 million will include 2 more instructors, 5 2024 Peterbilt trucks, 3 belly dump trailers, 2 flatbed trailers, 5 modified seat installments, an extra section to make the cab a classroom so that students have a place to sit and learn in the truck cab, the truck driving scholarships totaling $2 million. We'll have a process in place where students who would like to apply for these scholarships will apply through our financial aid department and will complete the FAFSA. So it will be based on need as financial aid reviews those applications and selects those who will be awarded scholarships for the Truck Driving Academy, Gore said. They don't have an endowment right now, but it is something that they could look at establishing if they work with PSP. There could be other entities in the area who would like to also contribute, and then that would help it grow, Gore said. Board approves law enforcement items. With 3 Ector County ISD police officers recently added, the Board of Trustees on Tuesday approved 3 new vehicles from Sewell Ford for a total of $132,675. Trustees also approved $86,691 for 33 soft and hard body armors from Dana Safety Supply, with grant funds coming through the state. These will go to frontline officers, Supplemental Agenda Materials said. The board also approved allowing the police department to go for a fiscal year 2024 Safe Neighborhoods grant. The opportunity to apply for this grant under the governor's office will enable ECISD to develop evidence-based activities to prevent violent crimes in targeted geographic areas in order to reduce violence, crime, and incarceration rates, the material said. Discussion of the virtual instructional coaching item caused some confusion among Ector County ISD board members, resulting in the item being pulled until next month. Cost, the fact that the coaches will not be coming to campuses in person, the hour a week spent with teachers virtually, and being able to get out of the contract were concerns expressed by trustees. The money would come from Federal Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief, ESSER funds. The spring pilot would total $30,000, Director of Talent Development Jesse Garcia said. Supplemental agenda material indicated it would be $400,000 each year for 2 years. But Garcia said the district allocated $400,000 for 2 years for virtual coaching. Garcia noted that Edifying Teachers does not have a contract yet, and that the teachers who would be coached have not been selected. We would pay for services rendered upon determining a scaling plan. We would pilot the work with 20 teachers, and if it went well, use the $400,000 to continue to fund for other teachers. Garcia said in a text message after the meeting, the purpose is to improve teaching in the classroom. Teachers in the pilot would be coached for an hour a week. Garcia said the program is interactive and teachers would also get weekly check-ins. Garcia said there are not enough instructional coaches for all teachers in ECISD for teachers that need them. Leveraging lessons from the pandemic, they looked at virtual coaching, which is a new technology. They have chosen a company, Edifying Teachers, through a request for proposals. If the program is successful in the first year, ECISD would explore it further. Trustee Delma Abalos said it didn't matter where the funds were coming from. It sounded like a lot of money. Tammy Hawkins, also a trustee, said teaching is a hands-on profession, and she has an issue with the tutors never coming to Odessa. Vice President Carol Gregg said she wanted someone to look at the contract. Trustees also approved an election order for the May 6th board election and heard a thank you from Sheena Salcido, Vice President of the Ector County TSTA, representing 800 members, for the work the board does, and improvements they have approved for pay. Position 1, Carol Gregg. Position 2, Donna C. Smith. Position 6, Tammy Hawkins. And Position 7, Dennis Jones, are up for election this year. Trustees also heard data from the Texas Academic Performance Report, or TAPR, on the district's performance, graduation rate, and a variety of other items. Special presentations included a School Board Month proclamation from Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven, the presentation of a TASB by-board rebate check, recognition of Odessa High School senior Priyanka Nagalo for qualifying for State UIL Congress debate, and the introduction of the academic all-state student athletes from the fall semester. In his opening comments, Superintendent Scott Murray talked about the trustees' visit to Austin during the first week of the legislative session. School board members Steve Brown, Donna Smith, and Tammy Hawkins visited the offices of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Senator Brandon Creighton, Chair of the State Public Education Committee and Higher Education Committee, Senator Kevin Sparks, and Representative Brooks Landgraf, and discussed ECISD's legislative priorities for this year's session. He thanked the board for taking the time to strongly advocate for ECISD students and staff members. Quick hits swearing-in ceremony. Congressman August Pfluger, Republican San Angelo, will be sworn in by U.S. District Judge David Counts at a local ceremony on Monday in Midland. The swearing-in ceremony will take place at 11 a.m. Monday at the George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush U.S. Courthouse. Members of the community are invited to attend the ceremony and reception. The event is open to the public and all members of the media. Midland-Odessa Area Comic Book Roadshow. Comic Book Roadshow has scheduled a comic book roadshow event from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. today at the Courtyard by Marriott Odessa, 7241 Tris Harmonis Boulevard. There will be a multitude of comic books, sports cards, toys, video games, and more for purchase or trade. Visit comicbookroadshow.com. COVID and flu shots. The Ector County Health Department has scheduled the administration of influenza and COVID-19 vaccinations from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. today at the third floor auditorium of the Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street. COVID-19 vaccines will be free. Influenza vaccines will be $25, cash only. Visit tinyurl.com/2k3wj3tv or call 432-332-0633. Read to Felix. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Read to Felix at 4 p.m. January 20th at the library third floor, 321 West 5th Street. Felix is a therapy dog that loves to be read to. Visit tinyurl.com/5ejj9mks9. Texas Master Naturalist Classes. The Llano Estacado Chapter of Texas Master Naturalists has scheduled initial training classes beginning from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. today at the Sibley Nature Center, 1307 East Wadley Avenue, Midland. Cost of new trainees is $125 and covers a textbook, annual fees, and speaker fees. Reservations are required. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/yc77hpy5 or email llanoestacadotmn@gmail.com. Key Driver Education Program. Medical Center Health System has scheduled the KEY, Knowledge Empowers Youth, Driver Education Program from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. January 28th in the ECHD Boardroom. The KEY Driver Education Program is designed for young drivers as well as their parents or guardians. It is focused on preventing common factors in young driver motor vehicle crashes. The program includes discussion with experts and people affected by young driver crashes, hands-on activities, and a behind-the-scenes tour of the MCH Trauma Center. Upon completion, each participant will receive a certificate of completion as proof of attendance that may be redeemed for community service hours. The program is free and open to the public. To register for the event or ask questions, contact Serena Watts at 432-640-2724 or by email at sperkins@echd.org. From bebop to hip-hop, jazz concert entertains Permian students. Some people may not know that some of their favorite rock or rap songs may have their roots in jazz music. For about 4 years now, the West Texas Jazz Society has aimed to teach that to students in the Permian Basin while also entertaining them with a performance, including some of the top musicians in the country. On Wednesday afternoon, the West Texas Jazz Society put on its annual From Bebop to Hip Hop concert at the Permian High School Auditorium. We just think because we're out here in West Texas, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have access to the world's greatest musicians, West Texas Jazz Society President Eric Baker said. So the West Texas Jazz Society partners with the Arts Council of Midland and Beale Foundation, and we pull resources together to bring top recording artists from Los Angeles to our students. We bring them right here to their schools. The concert consisted of performances from original pieces such as Tail Dragger Blues to I Wanna Dance With Somebody to Be Alright to Remember Me from the Disney Pixar film Coco. Wednesday, the West Texas Jazz Society was at Permian. Today, they'll be doing a concert at Legacy High School in Midland. They'll also be doing a free concert Friday at 7 p.m. at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. What we're trying to do is connect the popular style of music that they listen to today and connect that to the rich traditions of jazz music, Baker said. We play a mixture of all styles of music and try to connect those themes together for the young people. The list of guest musicians who performed this week include Andy Martin, Gary Meek, Dan Fornero, Steve Gregory, Jarrett Johnson, David Zarlinga, Ernest Tibbs, Wally Minko, Aaron Janik, and Billy King. The quality of the musicians includes hundreds of albums between them, some of which have performed with such artists as Elton John, Michael Bublé, and Celine Dion. I have a doctorate in music, and I used to be a performer and travel all over and get to do these things. West Texas Jazz Society board member and UTPB music coordinator David Keast said, I know from my own experience what a gift it is to travel and perform and meet these people. I couldn't travel and do that anymore. I want my kids to experience this. I want other people's kids to get to meet other musicians and hear the incredible talent in their own school. Johnson is a Grammy Award-nominated vocalist, arranger, songwriter. His expansive skill set has been featured with world-renowned music acts, and he has appeared on numerous studio recordings. Some of his highlights include singing and backing vocals on the Grammy Awards, NBC's The Voice, ABC's Good Morning America, and The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. This isn't Johnson's first time performing in Odessa. This is always a wonderful time, Johnson said. This is my second year doing this, and being a part of this tradition is great in any capacity. Playing with some of the best musicians in the country and being able to give back and take the opportunity to show the students what they have an opportunity to be part of, if they so desire. The arts are so important to us and the future of the young people coming out of schools. To be a part of this is great. The Permian students were entertained, singing along with some of the pieces during the performance. It means so much to have these people be excited about us playing because it makes us think that we're doing it the right thing, Johnson said. The best part of my job is the instant gratification. I get to know immediately what I'm doing if it's affecting people in a positive way. That's the most fun of any of us as performers. Their energy was feeding us as well, so it was great. Odessa students express power of AVID. Complex Community Federal Credit Union announced on Wednesday its sponsorship of the AVID Senior Experience, showcasing the work of the ECISD AVID. CCFCU is involved with AVID and teaches in all the AVID classes throughout the district. During this two-day event, selected Odessa students from Permian High, Odessa High, New Tech Odessa, Odessa Collegiate Academy, and Odessa Career and Technical Early College High School will participate in activities and demonstrations that will explain how the AVID program has changed their lives. The event will kick off from noon to 5 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa College Black Box Theater, located at 2308 Shakespeare Road in Odessa. The event will conclude from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday at the same location. Avid equips teachers and schools with what they need to help students succeed on a path to college and career success. Students may be the first in their families to attend college and are from groups traditionally underrepresented in higher education. Avid makes the concept of attending college less of a foreign concept. As a student, Avid wasn't the thing that fixed us. It was the people who were doing Avid that gave us this opportunity to really take a hold of a future that wasn't necessarily an option for a lot of us. Jonathan Grant Brown, Avid alumni and UTPB alumni, stated in the press release. According to studies, 76% of Avid seniors are from a low socioeconomic status background, and 86% are underrepresented students. Nevertheless, they outperform their peers in crucial metrics nationwide. Texas Avid high school seniors have a 100% high school graduation rate with an average GPA of 3.4, and 72% of Avid students are accepted into a four-year college. Bundt Cake Company suing hospital. A local bakery is suing Odessa Regional Medical Center, alleging the hospital owes them $28,000 for several months' worth of Bundt cakes. According to the lawsuit filed in Ector County Court at Law Court Tuesday, Nothing Bundt Cakes baked and delivered hundreds of small, bite-sized Bundt cakes to ORMC on a weekly basis from August 2021 through August 2022, but have not been paid in full. Nothing Bundt Cakes, which has locations in Midland and Odessa, alleges the hospital owes the company $28,000. The company is seeking the owed amount plus interest and attorney's fees, alleging breach of contract. Invoices attached to the lawsuit indicate the bakery delivered 100 buntlets every week at a cost of $4.75 each in 2021 or $5 in 2022. Stacy Brown, president of ORMC, has previously said the hospital has a policy of not commenting on pending litigation. Williams tabbed as chair of ATD board. Karen Stout, president and CEO of Achieving the Dream, and Alex Johnson, chair of the ATD board of directors, announced new leadership for the organization's board of directors for 2023 and 2024. Odessa College President Gregory D. Williams, who has served on the ATD board since 2018 and vice chair since 2021, will succeed Johnson as board of ATD's board of directors. Odessa College, which Williams has led since 2007, has been an ATD network college since 2009, is an ATD Leader College of Distinction, and received ATD's highest award, the Leah Mayer Austin Award, in 2018, a news release said. ATD is pleased to have such a distinguished leader as Dr. Williams to guide us, Stout said in the release. He knows our work so well as a board member and as prolific practitioner of change management. He continually has shown ATD and other college leaders what it takes to make a community college an anchor institute in the community. His leadership has transformed the Odessa College campus, the lives of its current and future students, and the institution's role in serving local industry. Williams succeeds Johnson, president of Cuyahoga Community College, Tri-C, who has served as board chair since February 2021. ATD is grateful for Dr. Johnson's exceptional leadership over the last 2 years, said Stout. He has helped advance the organization's thinking around equity and opportunity and provided critical guidance as the organization and its partner colleges faced national crises that have forced institutions to accelerate efforts to address structural racism, unemployment, and economic upheaval, and the ongoing pandemic. Williams, in partnership with Achieving the Dream, has led Odessa College, where he started his own college career in 1983, through many cycles of transformation to become a national model of continuous improvement and innovation. Odessa College was among the first to embrace alternative scheduling for students, resource sharing with other colleges and institutions, altruistic partnership with local public schools, and comprehensive student support inside and outside the classroom, building on the success of its strategic recruitment and retention efforts. The college continually reinvests its resources into student success, quadrupling its tutoring services in recent years, and ensuring that all students have life coaches advice and support them inside and outside the classroom. Williams noted how central ATD continues to be to its transformation work. They force community colleges to look at themselves and the data that helps leaders and the college community be honest about what can be done to improve, no matter how deep the challenges are, particularly now, Williams said. Our ATD coaches helped us disaggregate data so we were able to uncover core issues that needed addressing. It inspired us to be more effective and being able to look at ourselves using all types of data has continuously led us to explore innovations. Recently, the college implemented a $78 million campus infrastructure improvement project and a business partnership to encourage student participation in success-driven activities. The college twice received the Rising Star Award for Excellence from the Aspen Institute. A former psychology professor, Williams also served previously as president of Western Texas College. He is a former chair of the Texas Association of Community Colleges and served on the American Association of Community Colleges, AACC, board of directors and their executive board. He served on Aspen Institute Change Management Task Force and the jobs for the Future Policy Leadership Trust for Student Success. The new slate of ATD board officers include Bennett College President Suzanne Walsh, J.D., M.A., who will serve as Vice Chairman, Alamo College District Chancellor Dr. Mike Flores as Secretary, and Larry Kubel, Founder and Managing Partner of Labrador Ventures, continuing in his role as Treasurer. Our board includes nationally recognized leaders who bring vast and diverse experiences and a lifelong commitment to educational equity and student success, Stout said in the release. We are fortunate to have these leaders to help us advance our goals of transforming institutions into engines of innovation that support student success, educational equity, and social mobility for our graduates. They will continue to help ATD lead institutional transformation, helping our colleges redefine their purpose and demonstrate their value, and work across boundaries to develop the hidden talent pool of at-promise students and skill-seeking workers whose advancement is crucial to the future of the communities we serve. Civic Speed to be hosted by Odessa Chamber. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation announced Wednesday the launch of the 2023 National Civics Bee, a national competition designed to inspire young Americans to become better informed about American democracy, to engage respectfully and constructively in the community, and to build greater trust in others and institutions. Students in participating states may apply for the competition here at tinyurl.com/4EEAXD3W. The deadline to enter is February 24th. In recent years, Americans' civics knowledge has fallen significantly, with 47% not being able to name all three branches of the government. At the same time, 76% of eighth graders score below proficient in civics. Carolyn Colley, president of the U.S. Chamber Foundation, said in a news release, "Despite these disturbing numbers, studies show that simple interventions such as taking a civics class early in academic life can make a big difference in becoming active, informed, and a responsible citizen. This is exactly what we hope to achieve with the National Civics Bee, to inspire a new generation of Americans to be civically engaged and active in shaping the future of our communities and our nation." The local chapters hosting the competition in Texas are the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, Brownsville Chamber, Fort Bend Chamber, Pearland Chamber, and Rowlett Chamber, the release said. Modeled on traditional spelling and geography Bs, the 2023 National Civics Bee builds on the success of the pilot competitions held in six states in 2022. This year, the competition is expanding to nine states, including Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Washington, in partnership with local and state chamber of commerce, and ultimately aims to engage students in all 50 states. Local chambers in each state will recruit 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students to take part in a first-round essay competition, proposing a civics solution to a community problem. After a distinguished panel reviews the 500-word essays, the top 20 students in each community will participate in their local competition, which will include a live quiz and a $500 cash prize for first place. The top three finalists from each local event will then advance to the state competition, competing for a chance to receive various prizes, including $1,000 cash for the first place student. Last year, the competition engaged 981 contestants from 135 schools. Caitlin Thangaraj, who won first place in Mason City, Iowa, impressed the judges with her proposal to introduce armadillo lane dividers to bring bike safety to Mason City, the release said. The National Civics Bee is part of the U.S. Chamber Foundation Civic Trust Initiative, designed to improve understanding of and involvement in American civic life. By changing the conversation and perception of civics in classrooms, boardrooms, on social media, and other platforms. To learn more about the National Civic Bee, including competition rules and prizes, and to submit your essay, visit tinyurl.com/4EEAXD3W. Two top ECISD executives leave for MISD. The Midland ISD Board of Trustees voted Tuesday to approve the hire of two new district administrators. Roberto Cedillo will serve as deputy superintendent, and Ashley Osborne will serve as associate superintendent for teaching and learning, a news release from MISD said. Cedillo and Osborne are both former MISD employees, who most recently served in ECISD, where Cedillo is the Executive Director of Leadership and Osborne is the Executive Director of Talent Development. Both are set to begin at MISD on January 30th. Annette Macias, who has been Executive Director of Accountability at ECISD, left earlier in the school year for a position as Executive Director of State and Federal Programs at MISD.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.